Begin the current daf himself. Rosh Hashanah daf Chav Ches. Begin on the bottom line of daf Chav Zayim Beis. The Gemara continues the discussion of our Mishnah, and specifically regarding what the Gemara had left off on the bottom of Chav Zayim Beis, where the Gemara had resolved the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa regarding if someone heard the sound coming out of a pit. Is it only if someone hears the kol ha-shofar, but not the sound of the echo of the shofar, or will one fulfill it in all situations? On that, the Gemara resolved that it's for someone that's standing on the outside by the Sfas Habar. There, if he hears the sound of the echo, he will not be hearing the sound of the shofar, and therefore he will not fulfill his chiv. Whereas someone that's inside the pit, when he hears the sound of the shofar, in all situations it will be the sound of the shofar and not the sound of the echo, and therefore one will always fulfill his chiv. Now, continuing on that, the Gemara brings the following halacha, which will be related to this discussion. Amar Rabba, continuing on top of Chav Ches Meralf, Shama Miktas Tekir Bebar. If someone hears some of the sound of the blowing of the shofar, part of it was inside the pit, and some of it he hears on the edge when it's outside of the pit. On that, Rabbi says that Yatza, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. Now, originally the Gemara will assume that what Rabbi is saying is that if someone was first on the edge of the pit and his friend who was blowing was inside the pit, then he came out, he will fulfill his chiyuv with the second half of the tekiah, which we obviously hear from that halacha, that even with part of the tekiah, you'll fulfill your chiyuv, because although when he's inside the pit, the one who's standing on the outside is not hearing the actual tekiah, rather he's hearing the echo of the tekiah. But since when he comes out during the tekiah, the second half he's hearing the authentic sound of the shofar, therefore that will be enough for him to be yetzer his chiyuv. Rabbi continues, says, Miktas tekiah koidem shayal amar ha-shachar. Now let's say the person begins blowing and he has part of it before the sun, before the amud ha-shachar, before the break of dawn, which is not the time you have to tekiah the shofar. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah Daf Chaf Amud Beis, that the whole entire day is kosher for tekiah shofar. Where the Gemara there learns from the pasuk of Yom Tru Yilachem that it has to be the Yom, the day, and not the nighttime. So before amud ha-shachar, it's still considered nighttime. But then the blow continued. And part of the tekiah, the second half, was already when after was the break of dawn. And that Rabbi says, lo yatza. There he has not filled his chiyav with the second half that was already daytime. Now, on that, Abaya asked, well, how do we understand these two halachas? Maish nahasim, what's the difference over there by Amud HaShachar? Debeina kula tekiah b'chiyuv v'leka, where you need the entire tekiah to be in the time when there's obligatory, which is only when it's daytime and you don't have that, because it began blowing before it was Amud HaShachar. So, hachanami, but here also by the case of the pit. You also need the whole thing to be in the time, in the obligatory way. And you don't have that because when he was blowing inside the pit, that is only the echo of the shofar, which one will not fulfill his chiyuv. And however, we're saying that you are going to fulfill it by the second half when it comes out. So why is it different? By Murash Shachar, there also you should say the second half of the blowing, which is during the daytime, one should fulfill his chiyuv at that part. Which the Gemara says, can you compare the two that you're asking that question? Hasam laila loves man chiyuv klal. There before Amud HaShachar, which is nighttime, there's no obligation at all. The realm of the mitzvah only applies during daytime. So therefore, you can't say that you're going to fulfill it with the second half. Hacha, bar makam chiyuvahu la'is na'im din bar. And this is like what we had said, that for those who are inside the pit, there it's always a chiyuv of the shofar, which you could fulfill hearing it inside the pit, because they hear the sound of the shofar. You're right, someone standing on the outside will only hear the echo, hence he will not fulfill his chiyuv, but it's a tekiah shofar of chiyuva. It's just you won't be hearing that. Therefore, when once he comes out, and you will hear the full-fledged, authentic tekiah, you'll be considered as if you heard a full-fledged tekiah from its beginning till its end. It's just that you only heard the second half. Now, but the Gemara does ask, based on this answer, Lememra, the Savar Rabba Shama Sev Tekiah B'loy Tchil Tekiah Yatsa. What it sounds like you're saying is that Rabba will hold that if you hear the last part of the Tekiah without the beginning part of the Tekiah, you'll fulfill your Chiyuv. Where here we're saying that the person that was outside the pit didn't hear the first half because he only heard the echo. It's only when the person mid Tekiah walked out of the pit that he heard the authentic sound. That you're saying that as long as the whole Tekiah was the Tekiah of Chiyuva, because for those at least inside the pit, they could fulfill it with that. It's just that this person only heard the second half, that's enough for him to fulfill his chiyuv. Umemela, and therefore it would sound like the same thing would apply, and the Gemara made the same deek on the previous daf, that tchilas tekiah b'loy soiv tekiah yatzeh, the same thing would be in reverse. That if let's say he only heard the first part of the tekiah, let's say he was outside the pit, and in the middle he walked into a pit, so you didn't hear the end because then you're only going to hear echo, then that will also be enough. You don't have to hear the whole tekiah, as long as it's a tekiah of chiyuva, in contrast to Amud HaShachar, which is not a tekiah of chiyuv at all because it's only during the daytime. That then you will fulfill it with even part of the tekiah. And that the Gemara says, Toshima, a question, again, similar to the questions that were posed on the previous daf, where the Gemara had a similar discussion regarding is it enough to be yitzah with only part of a tkiyah. We learned in the Braisa that says, taka b'rishayna. If someone blowed the first tkiyah, which is that there's the three different sets of the tkiyahs that are blown on Rosh Hashanah, there are malchiyah, zachariah, and shayfres, and each set has a tkiyah, true, and tkiyah. So if someone blew the first tkiyah, which comes before the true of malchiyah, then umashach b'shniyah, and then regarding the second tkiyah, which comes after the true, he went and he blew that one, kishtayim, as long as what would be necessary for two tkiyahs. And he had in mind that not only should this be the last tkiyah of the malchiyahs, it should also be the first tkiyah of zachariah, which he has to blow two tkiyahs after each other, because it goes tkiyah, true, tkiyah, tkiyah, true, tkiyah, so that they have two tkiyahs near each other. So instead of blowing and stopping and blowing the same tkiyah, he went and blew one tkiyah as long as it takes to blow two tkiyahs. And that the Bryce says, in b'yada ala achas. You're not going to fulfill your chiv as if it was two tkiyahs, because since you didn't stop, it was one long one, so it would be considered the last one of the malchiyahs, but you have to blow a new one for the first one of the zachariah. Now that the question is, v'amai, based on what we're saying in Rabbah, tisalik lo b'tarti, this tkiyah should be considered as if it's two tkiyahs, because although it's one, but it's enough to be yaitza with part of it. So consider the first part of it as the last one of the malchiyahs, and consider the second half of it as the beginning of zachariah, because you don't need the other part to say that it's that tkiyah, not that tkiyah. You can fulfill it with even part of it. I think Maran says it's not a question, because psukit tkiyasim hadodi lepeskin. You can't just cut up tkiyas. You're right. If I heard an echo on the first half, and the second half I heard the full-fledged, authentic tkiyah, that will be enough to be yetsa, as we were saying before. Here that we don't consider as two, because we can't just cut up tkiyas. Since it's one tkiyah, we consider it as one. The Gemara continues asking, Tashim, we learned in our Mishnah, Hatekelo techa bar. Someone blows into a pit, or techa dus, or into a cistern, or techa pitas, or into a large barrel. So we said it depends. Im kel shayfer shama, if he hears the sound of the shayfer without the echo, then yatsa, then he's fulfilled his chiyav. Vim kel havar shama, but if he hears the sound of the echo together with the sound of the shayfer, then liyatsa, he hasn't fulfilled his chiyav, because you're not hearing just the sound of the shayfer. Now that the question is, v'amai, based on what Rabbi just said, leikbuk b'tchilas tkiyah, what you should fulfill with the beginning of the tkiyah, mikmeit la'arav kala, before it starts getting all mixed up with the echo, where then you can't discern what's the sound of the shayfer and what's the sound of the echo, so that you will not fulfill it, but before that starts echoing, you heard the first sound of the shayfer. That, you're saying, is enough to hear mixas tkiyah, which is the beginning without the end, so why are we saying in our Mishnah that you won't fulfill it if you're hearing the echo? If, as we said, that you're hearing the first part before it gets mixed up, that should be enough. So therefore, the Gemara says that you're right. But ki kama Rabba, actually, when Rabba said this halacha that we're talking about, that part of it was inside the pit and part of it was outside, where you will be yaitzir yachiv, is toma b'tekea v'oilu l'nafshu. When someone's blowing, he starts in the pit and he goes up out of the pit, and it's talking reference for himself to be yaitzir yachiv. We're not talking about, as we had assumed, that regarding someone else that's listening to him. Rather, the Tekeh himself started in the pit and he started going up. Where for him, the beginning and the end was one kosher tkiyah. Because in the beginning, when he and the Shefer were inside the pit, he's Yaitzah, as the Gemara had said in the previous daf, that those who are in the pit, they're always Yaitzah. And therefore, that's why it's not a contradiction to the other halacha of Amun HaShachar. You're right, you have to hear the whole tkiyah. And here, you are hearing the whole tkiyah, because when you're in the pit, you're fulfilling. Because there, it's not considered an echo. And when you walk out, so now you're outside, you're hearing the authentic sound yourself when you're blowing the Shofar. That the Gemara asks, so if that's the case, that's not for someone else, then what's the chiddush? Of course, why shouldn't it be yitzah? That the Gemara says, no, we would have thought to say that sometimes his head will be coming out of the pit, but the shayfer, which is by his mouth, will still be blowing into the pit, and then the sounds are going to get mixed together, and he's going to be hearing the echo, hence he will not hear the whole authentic sound of the tekiyah, because part of it will be the echo. That we're not concerned about that the person that's coming out, when he's in there, he's in with the shayfer, and he's fulfilling it, and when he's outside with the shayfer, and that's the chiddush of the case. Now the Gemara continues regarding what type of shayfer do we use. Some of Yehuda says, b'shayfer shel oila, regarding the shayfer of a carbon oila, where the person had torn it off the animal when it was still alive, lo yitke, you shouldn't blow with such a shayfer for the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Now the reason is because, as Rashi explains, it has to be told about that the animal was still alive. Because it was told about after the Zrikas Hadam of the carbon of the Oila, then there wouldn't be, as the Gemara will explain, the problem of Me'ila, of misappropriating Hekdesh, neither with its hide, nor with its horns, was what the Shefer is from. because all that goes to the Kanam, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Menachos and Masechtas Zvachim, where it says the words lo yiyah, for him it should be by the carbon eila. And it says lo yiyah by the carbon ashim, that we compare just by the carbon ashim, we know that the bones are permitted, so too by the eila, its bones are permitted, which includes the horns. And therefore, this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about before the Zrikas Adam, where there's still the halacha of Kadshim on the carbon oila, which makes all its parts forbidden because of Me'ila, so therefore you shouldn't blow it because you're going to be misappropriating. But if you blew it, then you will fulfill your chiyav of Tekiya Shefer. Whereas B'Shefer Shal Shlamim Liyit, however, regarding the Shefer of a carbon Shlamim, which is Kadshim Kalim, there a person should not blow it. But Vim Takala Yatza, there it's even after the fact, if you did blow it, you have not fulfilled your chiyav. My time, what's the reason for the difference between the shlamim and the oila? So the answer is oila bas me'ilhi. Oila is something that is relates to the halacha of hektish, of misappropriating. Now, the halacha regarding me'ila is a kivin demal, but once a person has misappropriated, has used it for his own personal benefit, nafka la l'chulin. So already gets transferred, already gets downgraded, demoted from its kedusha to that of chulin. Now, therefore, so once that happens, you're already using your own shayfer. It's not anymore considered that of me'ila, because the second you use it, it's no more hektish. And that's why, after the fact, you'll fulfill your chiv. Whereas shlamim, delav b'nei me'ila ninu, however, shlamim is not something that's fully in the category of me'ila. What that means is that there is no halachic status of the transfer of what me'ila does to demote it regarding kachim kalim, because that will only apply by the imurim, which are the sacrificial parts of the kachim kalim, and only after the zrikas dam, where then it's defined clearly which are the parts that go to Hektish, those parts will then have the halach of Hektish. But before that happens, it's not considered that of Hektish. It's considered somewhat of the owner's property. Therefore, Isur hu derochiv b'hu, that means to say that it actually makes it worse. Because that means the Isra of using it is always there, v'loy nafkil chulin, has never been taken out from Hektish to chulin, because it doesn't have the full halachic status of Kachim, of that of Kachim Gevoyah, to say that, oh, you misappropriated, now it gets demoted, and now you owe that money to Hektish. It's not. The Isra will always remain, and therefore, even once you use it, you have not fulfilled your Chiev, even after the fact. Now, on that, the Gemara is Maskula Rava. Rava asked, regarding this, that we said that there's a difference that by the carbon oila, since there's Me'ila, and by using it, you're downgrading it, you're demoting it from Hektish, hence it's like you're using your own Shefer, and that's why after the fact you're fulfilling Chiev. But he asked, Amos Mo'el, when does Me'ila happen? Labasa Tataka, after you used it, which is after you blew the Shaifer. But what that means is, Ki Kataka be Isur Taka. That means, but when you blew it, you were blowing in a status of prohibition, of what it was forbidden, because then, as you were using it, you were doing that of Isur. It's only after you blow it, that then, if one would use it, that then he will fulfill his Chiyuv. And therefore, why do you say that when you blow it with the carbon of the Oila, that you fulfill it, because it's different than Shlam, because there's Me'ila? But that act of the blowing is that of one of Isser. And hence, one should not fulfill his chiv with that. And therefore, Elam HaRava, rather, Rava says, Echad Zeh ve'Echad Zeh LeYatza, actually, both of them. Not just the Shlam, but even the Yaila, where there is Halach of Me'ila, but that would only be at a later point. Now, when you're actually blowing it, you're doing it in Isser, and therefore, you're not going to fulfill your chiv even with a carbon Eila's Shefer. However, the Gemara does say that Hadamar, ultimately, he retracted and he said, actually, Echad Zeh ve'Echad Zeh LeYatza. To the contrary, not only Oila, but even Shlamim, one will fulfill his Chiv if he does blow with the horn of the carbon of Oila and Shlamim. And the reason is because mitzvahs lav lahanas nenu. Mitzvahs were not given for personal pleasure for the Jewish people as if they're enjoying it, which would be what the halach of Me'ila is, misappropriating for himself. Rather, it's a yoke on the shoulders of the Jewish people. And therefore, that's not considered Me'ila. Me'ila is when you're having Hanah from something of Hektish. That's not Hanah. It's all for Hashem. And therefore, one will not be violating this Isser, and hence will not stand in the way of the person fulfilling his chiv of the mitzvahs when he used the shayfer of whether in oila or shlam. Similar type of a discussion, the Gemara brings that Amar Yehuda, b'shayfer shel avodah zarah. Now moving on to the case of the horn, the shayfer of an avodah zarah, where they had utilized this shayfer for avodah zarah for idol worship, which then that makes it asur b'hanah, forbidden to have pleasure from it. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, daf nun aleph amud aleph, it says in the pasuk, Avid Teveidun Eskola Makaymis, you should totally get rid of it. Well, that's a reference to the different utensils that are used in the service of idol worship. That's what the pasuk is talking about. So that would include such a shayfer. So that review this says, so lo yitka, such a shayfer you shouldn't blow with, because it's forbidden to have anah with it. But vim taka yatza, but if you did blow it, you're not allowed to use that of Avodah Zarah. But if you did, you will fulfill your chiv, because as we said before, mitzvah lav lohanas netnu. The prohibition is to have anah from it. Now, I'm not having enough, I'm doing a mitzvah. A mitzvah is not considered having pleasure. It's a yoke, it's a commandment, and therefore, after the fact, we'll fulfill a schibel that. However, b'shefer shel ir hanidachas lo yitzka, regarding the shefer of a subverted city, which is that when the majority of the inhabitants do have a desire that the whole city gets destroyed, such a shefer from that city should not be blown with. V'imtaka lo yatza. But here, even after the fact, if you blow with it, you'll have not fulfilled your chiyuv, which is a similar contrast to the discussion before. So Shigmar asks, my time, what's the difference between the Iran Lidachas and someone and that's used for Avodazara, they both have Avodazara? But the Gemara answers, Irhan Lidachas, regarding the subverted city, Kesuzi Mechdishirehu, we see its measurements as if it's pulverized, as if it's not there, because the reason is, all the objects that are inside the city have to be burnt. Hence, we already give it a halachic status as if it's burnt, which means to say that it's like ashes. Now, that means it has no measurements. And the shofar needs to have a requisite measurement, as the Gemara said in the previous staff, where it has to be enough that you hold it and you could see part of the shofar on either side of one's hand, which you're not going to have that halachically, and therefore, even after the fact, one will not fulfill his chiyuv with such a shofar from the Iran Nidachas. Now the Gemara continues on this regarding what we're talking about, items that are forbidden to have anah from, but after the fact you will fulfill your chiyuv because mitzvah lav lahanis nino. So Amar Rav Rava says, Hamudr hanah mechaver. Someone takes an oath forbidding from him to have pleasure from his friend. Mutar l'tkiyah lo tkiyah shel mitzvah. He is, however, allowed to blow for him a tkiyah of mitzvah. And again, the reason of all these halachas are because mitzvah lav lahanis nino. It's not deriving pleasure from that person because it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is not supposed to be hanah. It's supposed to be a yoke that a person fulfills. Similarly, hamudr hanah mechaver. If someone takes an oath saying that he's not going to have pleasure from this shofar, he's still allowed to blow a tkiyah of mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, because again, that's not considered deriving pleasure. Mitzvah lav lahanis nino. Continuing on this theme, V'amar Rava, Rava says, Hamudr hano mechaver. If someone takes an oath providing that he's not going to have pleasure from his friend, so then the halacha is that his chaver is mazalav meichatis b'meisik sham. His friend is allowed to throw on him the purifying waters, which is when the person becomes tummy by coming in contact with a corpse. So in the certain waters, which is from the paraduma ashes that got mixed together, his friend could then go ahead and throw on him these waters during the winter time, because the only pleasure you're going to be having is that of fulfilling the mitzvah. And again, as we said, mitzvah lav lahanis, and that's not considered having pleasure from his friend. But he cannot throw on him these waters in the summertime, because there, besides the hana of the mitzvah, there's going to be, this person is very hot, is perspiring, and the water is going to be cooling him down. That's already physical pleasure, which that's forbidden to have from his friend. Similarly, hamudr hana mimayin. If someone takes an oath preventing him from having pleasure from a spring, so tevu by tevila shel mitzvah b'meisik shem, so in the wintertime when you're not having, you don't really want to be tevling in that mikvah, you can go ahead and immerse yourself, because the only hana would be mitzvah, which is not considered hana. But in the summertime, you cannot then go ahead and immerse yourself in that spring for the mikvah to purify, because then you're going to have another pleasure of the physical pleasure, which again is forbidden because you took an oath from that spring. Continuing on the theme of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings a Shulchu Leilavu de Shmuel. They sent to the father of Shmuel as follows. Kafoi v'ochel matzah yatzah. If they force the person to eat matzah on Pesach and he eats it, he has fulfilled his chiyuv. So the Gemara first says, Kafay ma, who exactly is forcing this person to eat the matzah? That was saying that even though he was coerced, he'll be considered to that he fulfilled his mitzvah. Elim a kafoy shade, if it's told about that a demon, so to speak, forced the person to eat it, means to say that he was overtaken by this by these powers. And even though that the demons took him over and he did it, it's considered he fulfilled his chiyah. But by the time we learn the Braisa, it says, Itim chalim, that if someone at times he's sane, Itim shaita, sometimes he's deranged, he's not sane. So kishucholom hareyu kebekeh l'choldvav, when he's sane, so he's considered like a normal person of all his halachas that we need a person with das to have. Kishushaita, but when he's deranged, when he's insane, hareyu kishayit l'choldvav, then he's considered like a shaita for all halachas. And a shaita is not mechuyiv in this mitzvah. He's not considered as if he would fulfill his chiv. So how could we say that it would, if a demon makes a person like a shaita on some level, that he's going to be considered he's fulfilling his chiyuv? If we see that it's not, he's considered like a shaita l'chol dvar. So the Amar Rashi says, well, we're talking about this shekafu parsiyim. Talking about that Persians, that non-Jews, forced him. Now, although the person did not have an kavana, did not intend to be yotze his chiyuv of matzah on the Seder night, still that's considered that's all he was saying, that they sent to the father of Shmuel, as if he fulfilled his chiyuv. It's okay, even though he didn't want it. They said, eat, you better eat that matzah, and he ate it, it's enough. Now, I'm a Rava, so Rava says, Zoysen Meres, from here we can infer that at the Kael Ishir, if someone blows for singing purposes, or Rashi brings from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Yehuda, that if someone blows for a shade, meaning he wants to get the evil spirits away from himself, that Yasa, one has fulfilled his chiyuv of shofar blowing, although he wasn't intending to blow the mitzvahs of Shofar, but we see the same concept that regarding the matzah, when he doesn't want to eat, they force him to eat it, even though he didn't have intention for the mitzvah, it's considered that fulfilled. Here also, it will be considered that fulfilled as chiyuv. Now, that seems to be obvious from the halacha that he was saying. What's Rava adding on by Zois and Meres? It's saying that you don't need to have kavana for the mitzvah. And that the Gemara says that no, Mather Tema Hasam Ochel Matzah Merachman of Ochel. There, maybe we would think to say that there is a difference. Because there, by the mitzvah of matzah, the Torah says, eat matzah. And the person ate matzah. In other words, any had hanah from the eating, because as we find that, it's not considered misasik. Misasik generally means to say that you're preoccupied, you didn't intend to do that action. That's an exemption from other mitzvahs, averis, where, but regarding, as we find by Echiv of Chatas, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Krisis, that if someone is misasik, he's preoccupied when he consumes chela, forbidden fats, or engaging in the illicit relations, that the person is obligated in the chiyuv, which generally it's an exemption, because what's called shekein nena, because ultimately he does derive physical pleasure from these objects. Hence, that what the Gemara is saying is, maybe we would say the same thing as regarding the mitzvah of matzah, where, yes, although you were misasik, you didn't intend to fulfill the chiyuv of matzah, but you did engage in that action, as we find that you would even be chayiv for a chatas if you were misasik, which it's not your classical misasik, because there's still that physical component that's being fulfilled over there. Hence, you ate the matzah, so you fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas, but we continue on Talmud Beis, Aval Hocha, but regarding here the mitzvah of Shofar, where Zichr and Teruah Ksiv, the Pasuk tells us that it's a commemoration for the blast. It's supposed to be some type of a thought process here. It's supposed to remind us regarding the significance of this day. The high Misask B'Amahu, but this person is totally engaged in some other activity. He's just playing a song. He just happens to be blowing the Tekiah Teruah Tekiah. He's not intending for the mitzvah. There I would say that you didn't fulfill anything. You were totally misasik. You're not fulfilling. There's no physical kabbalah here, like by eating, which you have engaged in that. Kamash Malam, that's the chiddush of that Rav is adding on, that even though he is misasik, to just play music, he's still fulfilling his chiv, because ultimately, like we said, the mitzvahs ain't tzriches kabbalah. Mitzvahs do not need an intention. And if you're blowing a tekiah, through a tekiah, even if you're just playing a song, you have fulfilled your chiv of the mitzvah. Now, one thing the Gemara says, Almuk Sabarava, mitzvah Saint Sikhas Kavanah. So we see that, obviously, that he holds. The mitzvahs do not need to have a specific intention to fulfill the chiv, even if you're doing it and just, oh, I just realized I did a mitzvah, that's okay. That the Gemara says, but we have a Mishnah Masechtas Brachas that says, Hey, someone was reading from the Torah, the Giyaz Malamirkan, it came time to read the Parashat of Kriyishma. Now, he actually just happened to be reading. And when he's doing mitzvah shnei, he's reading from the Torah, he happens to be reading Parsha Shema. So on that, the Mishnah tells us, Imkivin liba yatz, if he had in mind, then he has fulfilled his chiyuv, v'mlav lo yatz, but if not, he hasn't fulfilled his chiyuv. Now the Gemara asks, my lav, what is the Mishnah saying? It means to say, kivin liba yatz. It means to say, if he had in mind, oh, I'm saying Shema anyways, let me have in mind for the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, then he has fulfilled his chiyuv. But if not, not. So you see that the mitzvah is tzrichas kavana, it needs to have intention. And then the Gemara says, loy likreis. When it says that he has only fulfilled his chiyuv if he had kivin libo, he was focused, it's only if he was focused to read. But you don't have to be focused to say, I want to fulfill my chiyuv of Kriyishma, just that I'm intending to read this. So the Gemara says, likreis, what does that mean he's intending to read? Hakakar, what if he is reading? We're saying he's reading, and we're saying it's only if he has kavana. Now, kavana for what? Kavana to read, he is reading. It must be that he has him kavana to fulfill his chiyuv. Only then do you fulfill your mitzvah. But obviously, mitzvah is tzriches kavana. Now the Gemara says, no, actually it is like we answered, that's to have kavana to read, because b'kor la'giya, he was reading as a way of editing. And that is, you're not really reading then, you're just mumbling and you're just saying as you're going along, and therefore, that's what the Mishnah meant to say, that you're right, mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana. But in kivan libi means to say that you but intended to say, let me read, then you fulfilled your chiv, because mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana, because if you didn't intend to read, then you'd be mumbling, you wouldn't even be reciting the words, which is the mitzvah itself. The Gemara continues asking, Toshima, within our Mishnah, said, if someone was walking behind the shul, or his house was right next to a shul, and he hears the shofar blowing, or he hears them reciting the Megillah. So on that, our Mishnah said, if it was focused, he intended, then he has fulfilled. But if not, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Now, my love, what does it mean? It means to say, but if he intended to fulfill his chiyuv, then he's fulfilled it, but if not, not. So you see, mitzvah shrichas kavana. And the Gemara answers, no, like it said before, loy lishmaya, it means if he was focused to hear. So the Gemara again asks, lishmaya, varshama, what does it mean that he intended to hear? He was hearing, he heard, and says, oh, if he then kivin liba, if he was focused, then he's fulfilling. Sounds like that to fulfill the mitzvah, but to hear, you're already hearing. And the Gemara answers, similar type of answer, no. Savar chamor ba'amahu. No, he would think that it's just a donkey making noises. What it means to say is that he has to really hear, because or else you wouldn't, just like we said before, you're not really saying the words. You have to have in mind to actually recite. Here also you have to have a focus of hearing, not just to fulfill the mitzvah. If you later realize, hey, it's Rosh Hashanah today, I fulfilled it, then it's okay. But it means to say, but you have to listen well to the sounds, because or else you won't notice that you're listening to the sounds of the shofar. Gemara continues asking, Eisvei, learn the Braisa. Let's say the one who's listening to the Tekiah Shofar, he had in mind to hear. But the one who is sounding the sound, the Tekiah, he didn't have in mind for somebody else. Or let's say the one who is making the sounds had in mind to be Yetzi everyone, but the one who's listening didn't have in mind. On that, the Braisa says, Lo Yatzah, you have not fulfilled your Chiv, until both of them have in mind that they both have kavana, both the blower and the one who's listening. Now that the Gemara asks, Bishlem in the skaven mashmiya, b'lein the skaven shmiya, we could understand the case of when the one who is blowing is having in mind, but the one who's listening is not having in mind. As we explained before, kasavach hamar ba'amahu, where the person thinks it's just a donkey making noise, although he's hearing the sound, he's not really hearing the sound of a shofar. El in the skaven shmiya, b'lein the skaven mashmiya, but regarding the other case of the braisa, where we said that if the one listening is having in mind, that's a shofar, let me listen. But the one who's making the sound is not having kavana. What would that be? That case be talking about? Wouldn't it be talking about that, meaning he's not having in mind for the mitzvah, because he's blowing just to make music. And the other one's saying, that's not music, that's the Tekiah Shofar. So he's listening, but he's not having in mind. That we said, you're not fulfilling your chiv. So obviously we see that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, because we see that when you're blowing to make a song, that will not be yitzah. Because what else is the case of where the mashmiya is not being maskavan? I think Mara says no. Similar to the other Gemaras that we had quoted regarding the Kairei and the Shemea, maybe it's talking about where he's just, so to speak, barking with the shofar. And that is, he's not even blowing to have in mind, when he's even playing for a musical song, to have the requisite amounts of how much the key is necessary. So hence, it's similar to the case of when he's Kairei Hagia, or when he's Shemea, but he thinks it's Chamor. Here also, he's not even having a mind to do the actual tekiah as a tekiah, because he's just barking with it. And that is what we're saying, that if he's not being maskava for that, then the other person will not be yoitza. But not because he has to have mashmiya, has to have kavana for the mitzvah itself. We're talking about he has to at least have kavana to blow that tekiah, which would be the requisite shiur of a tekiah itself. But now the Gemara continues asking on him. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to him, he says, El miyata, but if that's the case, what you're saying, that a person does not have to have intention to fulfill a mitzvah. And that is, it's as if you had kavana, whether you had kavana or not, to fulfill the mitzvah. But then hayashin b'shemini b'sukkah, regarding halacha of when someone sleeps on the eighth day, on Shemini Atzeres, in the sukkah, without the intention of fulfilling the chiv of mitzvah sukkah, yilka, he should get malchus. We know that the person doesn't get malchus, but based on what you're saying, the person is oivir and baltaisiv, and therefore, he's adding on to the mitzvah, so he should get malchus, because according to you, you don't have to have kavana. You did a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Hence, when you're sitting in the sukkah on the eighth day, which is the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, you're doing another day when one is not allowed to. So why is the halacha that you don't get malchus? You should get malchus. Because according to you, you don't have to have specific kavana being a tzachiv of mitzvah. So Amalai, so he answered him, he says, no. Sha'ani yomer, mitzvahs ina oivalein, that mitzvahs, you will not violate them, and that is regarding the halacha bal taisiv, elabizmanen, only in their proper time. That is, for example, if let's say instead of taking the 4 minim for the mitzvah of lulav, he takes 5. Or instead of having the 4 parashas in tefillin, he has 5 parashas. Instead of having 4 tzitzit in talis, he has 5. That's when you're fulfilling the mitzvah and you're adding on. But adding on another day to the yom tov sukkos, or another hour on that, that's not considered being moisif of the issur bal taisiv. You're right. The reason why you're not going to get malchus is because there's no bal taisiv in and of itself, because it's not the zman of the mitzvah. But regarding the fact that the person didn't have kavana, that's not a deciding factor. You're right. It would be considered a mitzvah, and hence an added mitzvah, and therefore an isra of bal taisiv. It's just not bal taisiv because it's not the zman of mitzvah itself. On that, Masav Rav Shimon bar Abba, he asks as follows. We learn in the Braisa that minayin l'koyin sh'ayil l'duchen, from where do we know that regarding a koyin that's going up to the platform to say birchas koyinim, Shlo Yomer, he shouldn't say to himself, he said as follows, like, Hoyel v'nosli Torah rishus l'varchas Yisrael. Look, the Torah gave me a right to bless the Jewish people. So Isav bracha achas mishli, I'm going to add on my own bracha that I want to bless the Jewish people. Kagan, for example, let's say he wants to add on the pasuk in Devarim that says, Hashem lekeh v'yisechem yisav aleichem, Hashem, the God of your fathers, should increase upon you. So how do you know that a person, that a kohen can't do that? Tamalim, that's what the pasuk in Devarim teaches us, where it says, lo yisif ala davar, you shouldn't come to increase on that thing. You shouldn't be add anything more to the mitzvah. Now, that's what the Braisa says. Now the question is, but v'ha'ocha, over here regarding Birchas Kehanim, kivim devarich lei, once he gives them the bracha of Birchas Kehanim, he says, Yivarech Hashem yishmerecha, he says the whole thing. Avrelei zmanei, that's already considered past the time of Birchas Kehanim, v'katani da'aver, and yet still we see that if he adds in something afterwards, he's being over Baltaisiv. You just answered that by his question, although the reason why there's no Baltaisiv regarding the eighth day of Sukkot, meaning Shemina Atzeres, although you say that you don't have to have specific kavana, and therefore you should still get Malkus, you said, yes, you're right, you would, but that's not this man of the mitzvah, hence no Baal Taisiv. But why do we see over here Berchus Kanam that there is Baal Taisiv, even though it's not this man? Because you already finished Berchus Kanam. The other thing my answer is, no, Hoch Meiskin, what are we talking about Berchus Kanam over here that you're over Baal Taisiv? Is B'dolei Saim, we told about where he didn't finish yet. He's adding on this other bracha in the middle of Berchus Kanam. And that's why it's considered Baal Taisiv. On that, the Gemara asks, how can you say that? But Tanya Saim, we learn the Bar says, even if he concluded, it's going to be an Issa Baal Taisiv. And that the Gemara answers, no, it means Sayim Bracha Achas. It means even if you concluded one Bracha. But since you still have the three, the other two, that's what's considered about Taisiv, because still is Manai. And that the Gemara says, still ask, no, Vatan Yisayim Kol Brachais. It's not true. We learned, even if you conclude all the Brachas of Berchus Kehanim, there's still going to be Isra Baal Taisiv if you want to add on the Bracha, which is even La'achas Manai. So that refutes what Rabbi tried answering, Tabayim. And that the Gemara answers, no, Shani Hacham. Actually, there's a fundamental difference between the cases, because here, by Berchus Kehanim, since if there would be, let's say, another shul that was around, Hadim Avarach, he would make again Berchus Kehanim. So Kuliyam is Manahu, that means to say essentially that the whole entire day is the day of Berchus Kehanim. It is Manahu. So although he finished Berchus Kehanim here, if there would be another tzibur somewhere else, he would make it again. That's what's considered zmanoi, and therefore it's applicable for Baal Taisiv. But regarding the case that I was talking about by Shemini Atzeres, where it's over, there's no more Baal Taisiv. And that the Gemara asks, Umenot Temra. And how do we know this concept that even if you finish something, but if it's still applicable in another context, let's say over here by another Tzibur, that it's still considered Zmane, and hence it would apply the Isra Baal Taisiv, even though Rav is answering that there's no Baal Taisiv after when the Shleib is Zmane. It's not like, Lenin Mishnah Masech Dizvachim. It says regarding Hanitana B'matana Achas, regarding Karbanas that are placed onto the Mizbeach at one time, where it's put on the one corner, for example, by the Matan Dam of Bechor. By the Bechor, the firstborn animal that's given, it's only thrown one time on the Mizbeach. Shenis Arvim in the Tan Matan Achas. What happens if those bloods get mixed in with the bloods of other Karbanas that are thrown onto the Mizbeach in one time? For example, with the blood of another Bechor. Or, for example, by the blood of the Karban Meiser. Then Halach is, so Yinasnu B'Matan Achas, so then you throw both bloods which are mixed together with this one time on the Mizbeach, where both of them are on there, and therefore it's fulfilled the Chiyah for both of them. Let's say Matan Dala. Let's say you have Karbanas, which are four different Matanas are thrown onto the Mizbeach of their bloods, which are Shlamim and Ashim and Oyla, Karban Taido, where they're getting all the four walls are going to get its blood, where they get mixed with Matan Dala, with other bloods that are supposed to be thrown on these four gifts of the blood on the Mizbeach. So they're also, you nust Matan Dala, you throw it on with these four gifts, where whichever Karban is there, their bloods are going to be thrown onto the Mizbeach, which the requisite amounts are supposed to have. However, the Mishnah says, what's the halacha of matan dal b'matan achas? When there are different amounts of blood, where let's say a carbon of shlamim gets mixed with a carbon of bechor, where one of them is supposed to be thrown onto the mizbeach four times, the other one's only supposed to be thrown onto the mizbeach one time. What do you do now? So then we have machlekes. Blazoim, he says, yinas matan dal. He says that you throw all these bloods that are mixed together four times. Bishoim, he says, no, yinas matan achas, you throw it on only one time. And as the following discussion illustrates, Amalei Rabbi Lezer says to Rabbi Shui, he says, what do you mean? Harei Oivra al Baal Tigra. If you're only going to do one time, you're going to be Oivra on the transgression of not doing less than the amount you're supposed to do. Now, since one of the Karbanas here that's mixed together has to be thrown off four times, you're only going to do it one time, you're transgressing of doing less than what you're supposed to. So Amalei Rabbi Shui responds to Rabbi Lezer, what do you mean? Harei Oivra Baal Taisiv. Based on what you're saying, if the Bechayr that's there that's only supposed to have one time, and now you're throwing all of them four times, you're being over on transgressing about adding more than what's supposed to have. Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, what do you mean? Lo yinem about Taisiv al kshu ba'atzmai. That's not true. The transgression about Taisiv is only when you have the thing itself, which is, let's say you had only the blood of the Bechayr, and you're throwing it four times, that would be about Taisiv, because it's only supposed to be once. Here, where it's mixed with something else that's supposed to be four times, so that's not considered as if you're transgressing about Taisiv, because you're doing it for that other blood. Some of Yeshua, so Yeshua responded to Rabbi Elazar, then the same thing by me. You're telling me that I'm transgressing Bal Tigra because it needs to be four and I'm only doing one time. It's only if I would be doing something that needs four, only that itself, one time that would be. But here, since it's mixed with something that needs to be one time, that's also not Bal Tigra. But Vo'idem Rishu says an additional point why I'm saying not like you is because Kishaloy Nasata, when you don't place it, in other words, when you don't do, let's say there was supposed to be four times, and you're only doing one. So Avarta Bal Tigra, you're right, then you'll be transgressing, hypothetically, this transgression of doing less than what you're supposed to. But V'loy Sisa Naisa Biyadacha, but at least you didn't do an active transgression. You just didn't do it. But Kish and Nasata, but based on your opinion that you're doing, which in some level is doing more than what you're supposed to, of the one that's supposed to be one time, you're doing it four times. Avarta Bal Taisiv, so you're right, you're having the flip side of being over Bal Taisiv, but it's more than that. It's Sisa Naisa Biyadacha. You're also doing it actively, which is always worse, and therefore, rather do it one time than having them all four times. So that's that Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. Now, and that the Gemara concludes the proof to what Rava was answering. Now, Vahacha, regarding the case over here that they're discussing, Kim de Yavle Matan Mebhar, once you already did, if let's say we're saying that, according to Rishu, we're doing it four times. So once you do it one time, so then you have already fulfilled your chiv of the matana of Bechayr, because it's only supposed to be one time. Now, avalei lezmane, what that means is that its zman of the zrika of the dam is already concluded. V'katani da'avim mishum bal taisiv, and yet in spite of that we say that that's his response to him. He's saying, what do you mean? According to you, you're going to be doing bal taisiv because of the other three to make it four times. Now, how can you be over bal taisiv? Lav mishum damrin, it isn't because we say, kivin de'ilu misramili bukhar achrina, that if there would be another carbon Bechayr, then then again he would spray from those bloods of those Bechars. So kula yom izmane, what that means is, that means to say that the blood of the Bechar is the entire day its mitzvah. And therefore you see this riot to what Rav was saying, that although that the Issa Bal Taisiv only applies when it's bizmanoi, but you do see that when it's still applicable in another context, which is, let's say here we're at another Karb Bechar, we still view it as the time of the mitzvah of Bechar, and therefore you will be over Bal Taisiv even after you did one matana, which is already done. He's still saying you'd be over Bal Taisiv in it. What do you mean Bal Taisiv? It's already over. It's like Shemini Atzeres. It's not true, because it's like the case of Berchas Kehanim, that there would be another Tzibur, hence it would still be Bal Taisiv. Now that the Gemara says, Mimai, how you bring a riot to Rava from this case of Rabbi Yeshua? Actually, it could be a question on Rava, because Dimuk Sav Rabbi Yeshua mitzvahs oivra aleina filish lebizmanon. Maybe actually Rabbi Yeshua holds that you could transgress, which is really what the question, the original question the Gemara had been asking from Shimon Bar Abba on Rava, that you could even transgress the iser of Bal Taisiv even shlebizmanon. And that is, so now you have two questions on Rava, one from our Mishnah, one from the Braisa. So how you bring a rai that, oh, obviously, you're right, you're not over Bal Taisiv Achaz Manoi, but still you see you're over Bal Taisiv over here, oh, it must be that other concept of Rava because it's still applicable. No, it's not true. Maybe it's just because, even though it is Shalebiz Manoi, because once you're done, but you're still Bal Taisiv, as Rav Shem was asking before, that there is that Issa Bal Taisiv, as he wanted to ask from the Halacha Berchas Kehanim. So on that, the Gemara answer, Anan Halacha Karmina, what we were saying, in other words, that we were bringing a Raya from here, that must be that because it's still applicable, another concept. What we were answering to Rav Shimon Bar Abihu, he was the one who asked the question that you see that there's an Issa Bal Taisiv, even Shalei Beznanoi. We were saying like this, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, my time is Shavik Masnitin. Why is it that when he was asking his question on Rava, who gave this answer to Abaye, that Abaye says, what do you mean? If you don't need to have Kavana like you're saying for mitzvahs, so Shemini Atzeres, when you're doing the mitzvah, you should still be over Bal Taisiv. On that he says, you're right, but the reason you're not going to be over is because of Shalei Beznanoi. Now on that, Rav Shimon Bar Abihu wanted to ask, what do you mean? Where do you find that you're not going to be able to taste even lachas manna? I'll prove to you that you could. Now, why did he leave the Mishnah, which was regarding the case of anitana b'matana achas, which we just quoted, it's a Mishnah Masechet Zvachim, that could be a beautiful question, as the Gemara just now ended off by saying it's not a right to Rava. Actually, you could ask from Bishu and saying that he holds that obviously that there is Bal Taisiv for the halacha of Bechar, even after Zmani of doing one matana to do the other three matanas of four. But that's not where he asked from, Rav Shimon Bar Abba. Umaisa mi Braisa, rather, he asked from a Braisa of Birchas Kayanim. Why? Laisa Mislini. He should have asked from the Mishnah, which is always better to ask, which is more authentic, the halachas of the Mishnah, than that of the Braisa. So that is what we wanted to bring a Raya. Masnid my time, Aloy Maisa. Why didn't Rav Shimon Bar Abba ask from the Mishnah of Masechet Zvachim? Because Kivan de'ilu misram alei Bechar Achrina must be, because if there would still be another carbon Bechar, then Boyim Azimineh, then he would have to throw from those bloods too. So Kula Yamizimnehu, obviously Rosh Hashanah understood, which is this concept that Rav had been saying, that must be that it is its Zman, even once you do the one Matana of the Bechar. If so, that's what the Gemara was saying, then Brisa Nami. So we could say that same concept where Rav Shmuel Rabbah is asking from the Halachas of Berachas Kanim, that Kivin Di Misrabi Tzibur Achrina, if there would be another shul, another Tzibur, then Had Mevarach, then he would make Berachas Kanim. So Kula Yem Ezman, they said, therefore the entire day is considered Ezman, and therefore although Rava is correct in answering Abaye, that there's no Baal Taisa and Shemini Atzeres sleeping in the Sukkah, because although you don't need Kavana to be fulfilling a Chiv of a Mitzvah, and hence also to be Ivra on the Mitzvah, but that's only when it's bizmani. La'achar zmani, there's no more Baal Taisiv, and Shemini Atzeres is la'achar zmani. Now, although we find by Birchas Kahanim, and we find by this Matan Damim of the Bukhari that there is Baal Taisiv after you're done, that's because it's Kula Yoy Mizmanihu, because if there would be another application of it in another Bukhari or another Tzibur, that would be considered another time of the Mitzvah, and therefore it's still zmani to be Avram Baal Taisiv. However, Rav Shimon Bar Abba, what he would say, and regarding to, he wasn't asking for the Mishnah, so obviously he knew this concept, but yet he still asked from the Braisa, he would tell you that no. Hasam loisagdi lo yahav. There regarding another Bechar, he doesn't have an option not to bring it, because you can't cause a loss to Kachem, and therefore he would have to bring it, and therefore, yes, you're right over there, I didn't ask him that because it is kol yom ezmanihu. But hacha, regarding over here, that I am asking from Birchas Kayanim, ibay mevarach, ibay lay mevarach. It's not true. If he wants to, he could again make Birchas Kayanim, but if he wants to, he doesn't have to, because he has already fulfilled his chiev by this one tzibah that he made Birchas Kayanim, and that's why he asked from there that you see that there is going to be Isra Baal Taisa by adding on another bracha, even though it is lachas manai, and that's why he asked on Rava from there that you see that's not true, that Baal Taisa would be even lachas manai, and then therefore you would be backed up by his question that then why wouldn't there be an Isra Baal Taisa when one is sleeping in the sukkah on the eighth day, where, as you're saying, mitzvahs don't need to have kavanah, therefore to transgress Baal Taisa, even lachas manai, should also be Baal Taisa. Now, therefore, on there, the Gemara says another answer to the original question, which would even answer this question of Rav Shimon Bar Abba. Rav Amar, he says that actually, the question of Abaye is not difficult, because Lotzis Leiboy Kavano. You're right. Like I was saying all along, Rav was saying that to fulfill the Chiyav of the Mitzvah, you don't have to have Kavana. Even without Kavana, you're fulfilling your Chiyav. But Laver Boy Kavana, but to transgress an Isra of Baal Taisiv, which is, let's say, if you're sleeping in the sukkah on the eighth day, there you do need to have intention to say, I want to fulfill the chiv of mitzvah even on this eighth day. Then you're going to transgress the Isra of Baal Taisa. But if not, then you will not transgress the Isra of Baal Taisa. It's only if you're fulfilling a mitzvah that the mitzvah is a chefza of a mitzvah, is the object of a mitzvah, even without having kavana. But after the eighth day, where it's not a chefza of mitzvah, you're only been going to be over the Isra of Baal Taisa if you're intending for it to be the mitzvah. But if you're not, then there's not going to be an Isra, even though mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana. Now, that the Gemara has, but regarding this halacha that we just quoted from the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, regarding the sprayings of the blood onto the Mizbeach, which, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that where you're not having intention that the other three throwings of the sprayings of the blood on the Mizbeach should be for the Bechar, where we said, the laver, you will be transgressing, and that's what he was telling to Rabbi Elazar, the Isra Baal Taisiv, yet v'loy by kavana, even though you don't have to have intention, that is, Rabbi Yeshua said that you are going to be Isra Baal Taisiv. But based on what Rabbi just answered now, that shouldn't be correct. Because why? You're right. Bechar only needs one matana. And Rabbi is saying to do four. And then that Rabbi Shua is saying, what do you mean? You're being over Baal Taisiv. But what type of Baal Taisiv is there over there? He's not intending for it to be for Bechar. He wouldn't even do it. He's just doing it for the other ones that are mixed in. And therefore, since it's not a Chetzah Shal Mitzvah, it shouldn't be considered if it's a Baal Taisiv only if you're intending for it to be a part of the mitzvah, and he's not intending for it to be part of the mitzvah of Bechar. He just wants it to fulfill the other bloods, let's say, of Shlom, that are mixed in over there. So Elam Rav qualifies this a little bit further, which answers this question too. Lotzus Leiboy Kavan. As Rav was saying all along in the Gemara, to fulfill the chiv of the mitzvah, you don't have to have intention. Mitzvah is in Tzrichas Kavana. Without intention, if you did the mitzvah, if you heard the shayfer, if you ate the matzah, even if you weren't interested in it, but you did, you're fulfilling the chiv of the mitzvah. Laver bizmanoi, regarding transgressing the Isra Baal Taisiv in its appropriate time, which this will include the karbanos too, which is the case of the Bechar, as we said that it is considered zmanoi the whole day, because if other karbanos Bechar would come, you would have to bring them, and hence it's always considered zmanoi. Loi bar kavanah, you're right, there also, even to transgress, you don't need to have intention. And therefore, Rabbi Shua was telling Rabbi Elazar, you would be Isra Baal Taisiv, because you're doing four instead of one. Now, although he's not intending for it, but since it's the zman of the mitzvah, it is considered a chavtz of mitzvah, and therefore even without kavana, it would be a transgression of Baal Taisav. What Rava was saying is, shaloi bizmani, to be over on the mitzvah in the form of Baal Taisav, not in its time, which is the eighth day of Sukkot, which is not the time anymore, it's not in the parameters anymore of the mitzvah of Sukkot, because it's only for 7 days, thereby a kavana there, you do have to have intention if you want to transgress the Isra Baal Taisav, which you're not interested if you're sleeping in the Sukkah, you're not intending for it to be, and therefore there you're not going to get Malkus, because since it's Shalai Bizmanai, there, even though we say Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana, there you would have to have Kavana to violate the Isra of Baal Taisav.